So chapter 1, starting at verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' Out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given, for the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. So here we are at the beginning of yet another new year. Didn't 2019 just begin? How did we get to 2020 so quickly? It is as though we made a beeline straight from January 1 of 2019 through till now, January 1, 2020. A number of years ago, I was curious and I looked up where the phrase "make a beeline" came from. And it turns out that it comes from something that bees, bumblebees, actually do. Who would have thought? One of the bees, the forager, finds a source of nectar and returns to the hive and does what is called the waggle dance. I do not know what the waggle dance looks like. Imagine it in your own mind. Now, the waggle dance does two things. It tells the other bees, the worker bees, the direction of the nectar, the source of nectar, and how far away the source is. This way, the worker bees can make a beeline to the source of nectar and make a beeline back home again. Efficiency is really of the utmost importance for bees because they have much work to do and they do not live for very long. I think that we are actually fairly similar to bees in this way. We're fairly goal-oriented. And I think it's kind of a society thing, it's kind of a cultural thing. We graduate from diapers, right? That's a goal achieved. Graduate from school, get our license, get a reliable car, find a place to live. Get a job, maybe start a family, plan for retirement, and then stay healthy and stay connected to family. These are all goals. These are all things, and at different points in our lives, we have these different goals, and we work towards achieving them. But we can become so focused, or I should say, we become so focused, maybe not such a bad thing, that it is as though we sort of make a beeline from goal to goal to goal. The problem is that it doesn't leave much room for interruption. Life sort of just becomes one great big beeline from 2019 to 20, from one goal to the next. And then looking back, we kind of scratch our heads and say to ourselves and to our spouse or friends, where did the time go? In John's Gospel, he makes a rather startling indictment. He says, you missed him. Missed who? Who did we miss? He says, Jesus. You missed Jesus. He says, though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. His own being humanity, the people of the world. And the indictment or the charge is this. Humanity, though created by him and through him, though possessing a piece of him, right? That life was, a piece of him, that life was the light of all mankind. Humanity, you missed him. Now, we as Christians may defend ourselves, or we may think, well, he's not talking to us, surely. Right? After all, we were just here a week ago celebrating Christmas Day. We made a big deal of Jesus' arrival. We have the nativity scene. We have the Advent candles. We made a big deal of it. And we want Jesus to return because we want an end to all suffering. We want an end to tears and all that, the pain and suffering that comes in this world. We may even think to ourselves, well, we know people who have missed him. The Jews, the people back in the day who said Jesus was a phony, who eventually convicted him on a phony charge and had him killed. But us? That's impossible. Impossible. If Jesus is light, then what is darkness? Darkness, we know, is the opposite of light. So darkness, then, is sin. It's rebellion and against and rejection of the light. Darkness, friends, continues to cover our world and our lives. Through humanity's unbridled greed for power and self-interest, we see the fruits of the darkness in family feuds, over inheritance, favoritism, old rifts. We see it in sex trafficking, prostitution, abortion, refugees, all forms of abuse, all forms of addiction. These, friends, are the fruits of darkness. And there's mental illness, too, which plays a more complicated role, but is a part of the darkness, too. Darkness is all around us. But it's not just around us. It's in our families. It's in our relationships. It's in us. And it is into this darkness, friends, that Jesus came. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. Jesus moved into our neighborhoods. Jesus moved into our homes. He moved into our darkness. Friends, we miss Jesus when we avoid the darkness. We miss Jesus when we avoid the darkness. Step outside on a sunny day and you'll be hard-pressed to find a light that is on. Let's just imagine the light on the side of your house is on. You would have to look directly at that light and probably from just the right angle to see if that light bulb is actually on. But in the darkness, right, it is easy. Just follow that beam of light to its source. It is easy to see the light in the darkness, isn't it? It's not complicated. Well, friends, it's in the darkness where we see Jesus most clearly. It's in the darkness where we see Jesus most clearly. And unless we see Him, friends, we cannot receive Him and welcome Him into our communities and our lives. That's part of the charge. Unless you can see Him, you cannot welcome Him. You cannot simply believe in Him. Why do we stay away from the darkness? Why do we avoid the darkness? Well, I can think of a couple of reasons. One, it doesn't make sense to us. It takes a lot of time. In a way, we admire the bees, and we've sort of adopted their philosophy of life. Buckle down, get to work, go about your business, accomplish your goals. This is the main purpose in life. Right? Darkness is an interruption. Darkness is inconvenient. Darkness gets in the way of us accomplishing our goals. If you have ever dealt with depression on your own, or you have worked with somebody who themselves experienced depression, you know it takes time. It takes incredible patience. Patience that most of us do not have. By the time families see and experience the fruits of their dysfunction, right? And this is where the pain of the dysfunction becomes so real that they finally want to deal with it. It has been years. And those family members will spend years trying to go about the work of reconciliation, identifying the problems, stating them, repenting and forgiving and all that. And the vast majority of the time, the whole family isn't even interested. The trauma of refugees, people who have been pushed out of their country, have had to hide, have had to get away from the enemy, those people, the trauma that they have experienced, it takes a lifetime to unpack all of that and to start seeing what's gone on and where the healing can start to happen. So two things. The first one, it doesn't make sense to us. Why bother? Why spend a lifetime in the darkness, right? Why spend a lifetime working on that stuff? It's not fun. Another reason that we avoid the darkness is simply it's scary. Darkness is powerful. Darkness has claws. Darkness has a grip. And it can easily, right, or it does not easily let us go. Right? Darkness, it's like a pit. And we look down in that pit, and it looks to us as though there's a certain point where we're too far gone, where we cannot even see the light anymore, and we will be stuck there forever. Why, friends, would anyone choose to enter their own darkness, let alone someone else's? If you have ever helped someone else with an addiction, or a family with their difficulties, you know how easily you can get ensnared in their darkness, in their hardship. It's scary. But friends, it is precisely here, into the darkness, where Jesus came, and He still comes. Why? Because that is where we need the most healing. It's the darkness that needs the light. Have you missed Him? Have you missed Him? How is Jesus able to enter the darkness? Well, He's the author of the story, isn't He? Right? It's helpful to think of the Bible. It's probably the best way to think of it as a story. And Jesus is the author of the story. He wrote the story of creation. He's in charge of where the story goes and how it ends. In other words, He is the light who can guide us safely through the story. He created the story, He wrote the story, He knows where it is going. He is the only one who can really guide us through the story. Safely through the story. And also because He is the story, or He's the author of the story, He could also write Himself into the story, which He did. And because He created the story with all of its characters, He was able to overcome the story's villain, which is the darkness. And we all know on Easter He crushed the villain. He crushed the darkness as He walked out of that, out of His grave alive. Jesus was able to enter the darkness. Why? Because He is Lord over it. He is the light coming into this world, piercing the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And friends, it never will, because it cannot. It's impossible. He's the author. He's Lord. John makes it pretty simple. How can we enter the dark? How can we go into the darkness where we meet Him? Right? He's already there. How do we go into the darkness? John says it's really quite simple. He says, believe. Just believe. It makes me think of how easily children believe in Santa, or how easily children believe in the Easter Bunny. It's really that simple. Believe. Believe that He is the light. Believe that He is the author of the story that we are a part of. And through that, we welcome Him in. We receive Him into our darkness where He already is. Right? That's one of the startling claims that John makes. Right? He's already there. Right? The life was the light of all humankind, of all mankind. Right? Every human being, in spite of our fall into sin, He is the light. He is a light to all of mankind, all of humanity. He is the trustworthy guide. We do not have to be afraid. He's already there. He's already trying to guide us. We just have to enter our own darkness, the darkness around us, and we will see Him. And there we can begin to follow Him. We do not have to be afraid. The guide is already there. Just believe He is Lord. Believe He is the author. In studying up on bees, I discovered that they're actually not limited to one flower. So maybe the bee line isn't, or making a bee line isn't the, well, it's not the whole story. You see, if a bee, a worker bee, sees another source of nectar, a better source, a source that is closer to the hive, they will actually choose to use that one, and then I imagine they do their own waggle dance, and so the other bees can be aware of it and use it too. Friends, Jesus is the better source of light. Jesus is the better guide. Because He can lead us through the darkness, which is what we all really need. And there He can bring His healing light, which is what we all desperately need, don't we? This is the grace, this is the mercy that He has shown us. Right out of His fullness. Jesus is brimming with life. Jesus is the light. He's brimming with life. He's brimming with life through Him. Out of His fullness, He gives us grace upon grace upon grace. The grace and mercy just keep flowing in. So don't be so busy, friends, this year that you miss Him. The darkness isn't an inconvenience. It's actually the way to life. And don't be afraid. You don't have to be. Come thou fount of every blessing, we will sing in a moment. And it has a line that captures this idea of grace upon grace upon grace that John talks about. Streams of mercy never ceasing. The light continues to stream into the darkness, and it will continue until there is no darkness left. Right? The light is streaming and pushing out the darkness out of our lives, out of this world, and it will not cease to do that until all the darkness is driven out. And the author of the Gospel of John writes these words later on in Revelation. He says, the city, the new creation, friends, will not need the sun or the moon to shine on it. Why? Because the Lamb, Jesus, is the lamp. So let's sing our song of